Peace be with you. Welcome to The Dean Show, internationally viewed all over the globe. And we talk about that crucial question. In one point in your life, you start thinking, what's the purpose of life? You've been to all the parties. You've imitated the movie stars. You've seen them on Xanax. Their life's all the way upside down. And you start thinking, man, why am I here? Why have I been created? And then you hear Islam, you hear Christianity, Jesus. And, you know, that's the conversations that you got to start having. You got to start, you know, learning about what was Jesus's mission? What was Muhammad's mission? What did these people call to? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the purpose of life. And in the mix of it, we have the author, John Fontaine, who was a former Christian, started to really think. He didn't want to blindly follow his forefathers and parents, and he came to the conclusion that Islam, submission to the will of the Creator, is indeed the truth because it's based on evidence and proof. It's a believable, simple message. You're going to learn the message that it contains, that was brought by all the messengers, and this book that he wrote, fascinating, Jesus, who, if you didn't know, you're going to learn it. We love Jesus, and the message that he came with, the Injil, and its original, all of this and more here in The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Dean Show. This is
The Dean Show. Isn't that a greeting of Jesus?
The greeting of peace, yes.
Right.
The greeting of all the prophets and messengers. They came with a greeting, Assalamu alaikum, which is peace be with you.
Peace be with you. You wrote a book called Jesus and the Injil. Now, yes. Some people are like, what is a Muslim? And, you know, for those that don't know, right now you're reading it on the screen. It's showing you what a Muslim is. Some people get terrified. They get really scared. They hear Muslim, Islam, Sharia, and they just go berserk. And they turn into the Dean Show and they start having love for Islam. They're like, man, these guys are okay people. You know, they're great. I think I want to be a Muslim. Call right now. If you've already, like, don't waste a second. Call 1-800-662-ISLAM. Or you can do it at the end. But we prefer, do it now because you don't know when death's going to come. And people have been going to parties because that's what it is. You know, like, it's like work hard from Monday to Friday and you got a party. And we talked about in another show before with you, we've had you here before, that you went through that life and it got played out, didn't it, quickly?
Yeah. Just constantly chasing your dreams, chasing life, chasing money, and you don't, you know, you're not happy. You can't buy happiness.
You can't buy happiness. Mm-hmm. And now people associate with religion with being just weird. And many of the academics, the thinking people, they're like, as soon as you bring up religion, they think that something, you know, weird is going to be, you know, brought to them. But Islam is nothing weird. And you realize that when you actually, you stopped believing in things that were not believable, Trinity, and you started believing something believable.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, like you said, Islam is, religion in general, is seen as like something that, you know, it can't be true. But in fact, it's a logical explanation of why and how we're here. You know, the Quran tells us, Allah tells us in the Quran, he poses the question, did you create yourself or did you come from nothing? You know, logically, nothing can come from nothing. Nothing can create itself. There has to be a cause. There has to be a purpose, you know. And someone who doesn't believe in a purpose, it's not believable.
No, it doesn't make sense that the creation is purposeless.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. There has to be a cause.
You know, I always tell people, look around you. Everything from this microphone, test 1, 2, 3, has a purpose, right? That jacket, you know, everything, the buttons on the jacket, everything, the keys in your pocket, it all has a purpose.
The purpose of life, which is to submit our will and submit and worship the Creator.
Now, that's what you talk about in your book, Jesus in the Injil. So you were a former Christian.
Yes.
And at a young age, you started really dwelling deep into Christianity. You used to go to the the Church of England. Yeah. You were attending all the Bible studies classes. Yes. Is that right?
Yeah, I was very
active.
Tell
us a little bit about this.
Yeah, well, I was brought up in the Church of England church, and I went to church. I was studying the Bible, taking part in the masses, and also I used to play the church organ, so mm-hmm. I was very active on that side as well. And I remember the first memory I have of this was we was asked to write a song about God, and my chorus was Jesus and God, Jesus and God. Okay, and I remember the vicar coming over, grabbing the paper, and scribbling out and saying Jesus is God. And this was the first time that I began to actually question Christianity. Before this, I just accepted everything. Mm-hmm. And this was only, I must have been maybe 8 or 9 years old, very young, but I was questioning I was questioning the religion of Christianity. And then I was constantly questioning and trying to figure out what the difference is between the actual church doctrine and the Bible. You know, what the Bible teaches and what church doctrine is something often which is quite different.
Before we dwell more into that, you were 8. How about the person that's 80? The other person is 18 or 28. And, you know, we're talking about Jesus, Abraham, Muhammad. Aren't these the names, the key figures that we got to talk about if we're going to ascertain what really the truth is? They're going to be in the equation. You can't just make up your own religion and just say, okay, you know, I'm going to do my own thing and then present this to the Creator. Is that doesn't work, does it?
I mean, if there is a, you know, we come to the conclusion that there's a Creator, the way He has communicated with mankind is through prophets and messengers. You know, prophets such as Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them all. And He has given them messages. And we know in the Quran, Allah tells us in the Quran that He's given the Torah to Moses, the Zabur to Prophet David, the Injil, which is a message given to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, and the final revelation, which is the Quran to the whole of mankind, which is the Quran given to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
That's what we're going to be focusing today, because you actually went, you accepted Islam, and you're basically from, you're Irish.
English
Irish.
One of my grandparents is from Ireland.
Yeah,
but I'm from England, Manchester in England. That's where I was brought up and raised.
Yeah, so they can't tell you, like, if you go back to, have you visited Ireland?
Yeah, I've been twice before. Yeah.
They can't tell you because, like, they go back home now. I mean, or if you go Manchester, I mean, you're English, you know, because people think like, okay, you're Muslim. They say, okay, you Muslim, go back home where you, like, there's a particular country where Muslims come from. Muslims are from all walks of life.
Yeah, I mean, this is the beautiful thing about Islam. When you travel the world, the more you travel, you see these Muslims from all over the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, one memory I've got, I actually traveled to Bosnia for one of the funerals. And every year they have a funeral of the people who have been killed. And I was praying with 70,000 white Muslims. You know, the feeling was amazing. You know, this was when I had only been Muslim for a few months. And when I seen this, you know, I really felt that Islam is amazing, truly amazing.
It's universal. It's for everyone. SubhanAllah. Yeah. So that's what I opened the show talking about. Jesus, Abraham, Muhammad, these were messengers of God.
Yes.
You talk about the specific message that Jesus brought, the Injil.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Talk about this.
Well, the first point is that as Muslims, Allah tells us in the Quran, He names some of the messages which He sent throughout time. So first of all, He mentions the Suhuf given to Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. He mentions the Torah given to Musa or Moses. He mentions the Zabur given to David, and also the Injil given to Jesus, peace be upon him. So these were specific revelations given to the prophets.
So say them again. You had the Torah,
the Suhuf given to Abraham, Torah given to Moses, the Zabur given to David, and the Injil given to Jesus, peace be upon him. So these are specific revelations given to the prophet.
This is communication coming from not the Creator becoming part of His creation to deliver the message. He's sending
the message to tell us what is the purpose of life, how to live our life, and this is how He communicates.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. We can comprehend someone making something, and you have a instruction manual, then the representative, right, that goes and you know, defines everything for you.
Yeah.
That's the messengers.
That's the messengers, yeah.
Yeah, so continue on.
Now, the interesting point about this is when we look at the Bible, what is known to be the Torah today is actually speaking about the Torah. It's actually speaking about an original revelation rather than actually being the Torah itself. The same with the Psalms. If you look at the Psalms, it's a collection of 150 poems, which is written, claimed to be written partly by David, Prophet David, peace be upon him, and other authors as well. This is not what we believe. As Muslims, we believe in a specific revelation given to David. But to stick on the actual topic of the Injil, which is the one which I speak about in the book. Now, the Gospels, what we have today, the New Testament, is actually a collection of writings by various different authors, such as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and other writers like Paul. Now, these scriptures are writings which came after Jesus, okay? So the Christian scholars accept that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the other writings were writings after Jesus, okay? But the interesting part is that when we look at these scriptures, they're actually referring to the original scripture given to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And this is a part of the topic of the book.
So when the Christian opens up the Bible and he sees Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were these the disciples of Jesus writing?
To be honest, we don't know who they was. They're unsigned documents. We're not sure on the writers of them. But as I said, the interesting part is when we refer to them as historical narrations, which came after Jesus, they're speaking about a revelation in the time of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, if we go to Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it actually says, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of God. Okay? So Jesus was actually preaching the gospel in his lifetime. So these later scriptures of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are speaking about a gospel which Jesus was preaching in his lifetime. If we go to the next verse, it's actually a command of Jesus. He says, repent and believe in the gospel. Okay? So here we have, I mean, if you hear the word gospel, you would automatically think of the New Testament. Okay?
Yeah.
And you start to look into the New Testament for guidance. Well, here, the New Testament, the books within the New Testament, are referring to a gospel within the time of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, it's a very important point. The most important part of this point is when you go to the oldest scriptures of the Bible. Now, the oldest scriptures of the Bible, of the New Testament, are in Greek. Okay? Now, the oldest scriptures of the Bible have something very significant, which is very important. And if you remember the point before when I was mentioning that the Quran talks about a revelation given to Jesus called the Injil, now, subhanAllah, when we read the Bible, so the scriptures of the New Testament, in the original form, in the oldest form, which is the Greek, it actually reads like this. And it says, and the same verse reads that when Jesus came to Galilee, he was preaching the Injilion of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the next verse is, Jesus says, repent and believe in the Injilion. SubhanAllah. So, but when you look at the translations in the English, they translate to be good news or the gospel. And you can't see that this word is being used. It's a very important point because the Christians what know this word, Injilion, actually say that this word, Injilion, means good news.
Yeah.
But there's other parts of the Bible which refer to the Injilion to being more than good news.
Yeah, let's take a break and we'll come back with more here on The Dean Show.
I want you to imagine you wake up and in front of you are a bunch of guys running around kicking a ball. No goals, no lines, no rules. What would you think? But is that your life? Surely every sport has its goal. Every game has its end, it has its objective, it has its rules. How about life? How about our life? Isn't there a goal to life? Isn't there a purpose, an objective that we have to reach? We think so. The Quran tells us that we exist in order to worship God, and worshiping God means knowing God, as the Quran says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Worship, though, is not some narrow, small thing. It's wide, it's vast, it encompasses everything that the human being does. Everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you feel can be done, thought, said, felt in a way that is either pleasing or displeasing to God. The purpose of life is to try and do everything in a way that God loves and God is pleased with. That is your goal.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show with the author of Jesus and the Injil. So you were talking about how in English it's translated, it's actually mentioned in the verbatim word of the Creator, the Quran, talks about Jesus giving this Injil.
Yes.
And then in the, what language is it?
In the oldest scriptures of the New Testament, in the Greek, it's using the word Injilion.
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 Now, yeah. Why are they translating this to good news in English?
Well, this is the question.
Yeah.
You know, this is the problem with translations.
Yeah.
This is actually the miracle of Islam. You know, because the Quran is fully preserved in its original language, as it was revealed in the Arabic. And you can't translate a message from God. You're going to lose the true message.
Lost in translation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when we come to the point of translating this word Injilion, when we look at the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, for instance, which claims to go to the oldest Greek text which we have, we can see that the translations of the word Injilion, they've translated it in whatever word they want. So if we go to Mark, for instance, the verse which I mentioned before, mm-hmm. it actually translates it as good news. So it actually reads, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the good news of God.
Well, that's not unique because every messenger came with good news.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it says, repent and believe in the good news. But in the same translation, the New Revised Standard Version, in the same Bible, with the same word Injilion, if we go to Paul's writings within the Bible in Thessalonians, it translates the word Injilion to be gospel. So, for instance, it says, those who did not obey God, those who did not obey the Injilion. You can see. So now the Injilion is actually being described as a law, something more than good news. So many Christians have actually translated, or they say the meaning of Injilion or Injilion is good news, which we don't deny, because as you said, the Quran tells us, Allah tells us in the Quran that he gave all the prophets good news. But specifically the Injil, the Zabur, and these other revelations were given to the prophets. And specifically, the Injil was given as a message to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him.
So when we say good news, because going beyond just good news, because
yeah.
we believe as Muslims that the Creator sent messengers to guide us, yeah. and they all came with a warning.
Yeah, a warning.
Warning of the hellfire. Mm. If you worship another god besides God, mm. that can get you into the hellfire, yeah. definitely, and or if you follow your desires. Mm. And they gave the good news of yeah. paradise coming.
And the guidance as well.
And the guidance.
Yeah.
So the good news was that yeah. reward of paradise.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Quran preserves, we have in its original what was given to Jesus, the mm. Injil, and Jilian. That's
yeah.
obviously,
yeah.
you know, the same book.
As well, as we're saying, later scribes, these later writings are referring to something which Jesus had in his lifetime called the Injilion. Mm-hmm. And they've commonly mistaken to say that this word Injilion is only good news. But even the Bible itself refers to the Injilion being described as a law, being described as a message, as teachings. So these are some of the subjects which we point out in more depth in the book.
You also mentioned that a lot of Muslims make the mistake of saying that the translating also the Injil or the Bible,
yes,
as being the New Testament,
exactly.
or the Bible being as one of these books.
Yeah, I mean this is a mistake, unfortunately, which even in the translations of some of the English translations of the Quran, the mistake has been made, because we can see that they're translating Injil to gospel, and Zabor to Psalms. But the Psalms is a collection of poems by different authors. This is not the Zabor. You know, and the Gospel, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John are not claiming to be revelation. It's actually referring to the revelation, and even within them scriptures, it names this to be Angelion. So we shouldn't really be translating these words. We should stick to the original.
That makes sense. So what would you advise Muslims now? Say what you just said to whatever the Creator says that He sent the Torah. We believe in the Torah in its original.
In its original form, yes.
Okay, but you can't say that the Torah is the Bible, or the Injil is the Bible.
No.
Comment on this.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, the Bible, if we look into the Old Testament, it claims to have, they have something which they call the Torah, they have something which they call the Psalms within the Old Testament, and in the New Testament we have the various different Gospels. But these are not, and they don't claim to be, revelations to the prophets. You know, as I mentioned before, that what is called the Torah today is speaking about a revelation given to Moses. What is the Psalms today is speaking about a revelation given to David. And what is the Gospels of today is also speaking about the revelation given to Jesus, peace be upon him. And these are specific revelations. And now, as far as the Bible goes, I mean, many Muslims make the mistake when they're conveying the message, and they did so with me as well, by saying that we believe in the original Bible or the original Gospel. This is not actually correct. We believe in the original revelations given to the prophets, and the names of them are in the Quran.
Okay, so reiterate that. So we believe in the original...
The original revelations given to the prophets,
yes,
in their lifetime.
And they
not writings by various different authors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, it's a very important point, because if you look at the six articles of faith, the six main articles of faith, which includes the belief in the books.
Let's go over those, because somebody right now is probably thinking, okay, they maybe watch some shows, so how do I become a Muslim? This is what you have to actually believe to become one who is submitting to the will of the Creator. And this is these six articles of faith, this is something that's been there, this doesn't change. This has been there from the beginning, right? Mm. To believe in these things. So what are they?
Well, the six main articles of faith are to believe in the Creator.
One God. What it says, I believe in one God, but then they add Holy Ghost and Holy Son.
It's the correct concept of the Creator, which is that He's one, He's self-sustaining, He's eternal, He doesn't have children, He's not a child, and there's nothing comparable to Him. You can't imagine the Creator. It's beyond your comprehension.
Yeah. Okay? Well, if someone says, what's the big deal? I believe in one God. I believe in one God, but then, they say Trinity. Does that count?
No, it doesn't. You have to believe in the correct concepts of God, as I said, that you can't imagine the Creator. So if you're saying that a human is a part of the Creator, then this is not God. Put it to the test.
Yeah. Doesn't that go against also the commandment in the Bible that says, thou shalt have no other gods except, about?
Yeah, the first commandment of the Ten Commandments is that your Lord, your God is one
yeah,
God.
Yeah, thou shalt have no gods in the heavens and the earth or the sea below, just worship the Creator.
The second one is actually no partners to God, no idols.
No idols.
So this is covered in the Ten Commandments. Even if we go to John 17, verse 3, what is known as the Declaration of Faith, the Shahada, is there. Because it says, the only way to eternal life is to believe in the only one true God and Jesus Christ, who He has sent. And this is what we call the Declaration of Faith, because in Islam we have, there's only one true God, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger.
So it's the same declaration. Today,
it's,
and Muhammad was sent as the messenger.
Yes.
Jesus, and he was sent as a messenger, but not as a God.
Exactly.
Makes sense. We'll be right back to wrap it up here on The Dean Show.
Is there a purpose to our lives? Do we simply exist to make a living? Or were we meant for something greater? Something more meaningful? I looked everywhere for answers. And I found Islam. started my journey. Have you started yours?
Back here on The Dean Show with John Fontana, the author of Jesus and the Injil.
Yes.
In the Bible, until it's translated, it's in the Semitic languages, it's called what?
Well, in the oldest Greek scripts, it's called Evangelion.
Evangelion. That's the message that was given from the Creator.
Yes.
To Jesus.
Yes.
So what are our brothers in humanity, our brothers now that obviously we're brothers in humanity, and in the Quran, the Creator tells us that closest to us are those Christians,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we really want the best for them. And what have they said? What has there been a response to what you're saying?
Well, it's a mixed response, really. Some of the Christians still claim that the word Evangelion just means good news. And although I've actually shown them that it's referred to as more than good news. But then with more research, we can see that even some of the Christian scholars, in the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, it also states in Frederick and Kittel that the Evangelion appears to be a loan word which has been made up to describe the New Testament. You understand? So even the Christian scholars are saying that this word Evangelion, it has no roots, because many of the Christians, they try to say that the word Evangelion comes from the Hebrew word basura, which in Arabic is bushra, which is glad tidings or good news. But in fact, some of the scholars of Christianity are saying that this word Evangelion it's been made up to actually describe the New Testament, which we know can't be true, because the New Testament is saying that Jesus in his lifetime, sorry, the New Testament which came after Jesus, is saying that Jesus in his lifetime used this word, and the audience understood what this word was, because he was specifically proclaiming it, as Mark says, he was preaching the Evangelion of God, not the Evangelion of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the Evangelion of God. And he also commanded, repent and believe in the Evangelion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we find anywhere in the Evangelion, in the message of Jesus, that he called people to worship himself alongside with God? Do we find it anywhere? And, well, and what about some of the evidence that people use, like, you know, like the one, for instance, very famous, that nobody comes to the Father except through me?
Yes.
Right? So you probably know most of the arguments that people make for him being divine.
Yeah.
So with your research
regarding the original message given to Jesus in its original form, we no longer have it. It's not been preserved. This is why the Quran was revealed, because the Quran came as the final revelation to mankind and the final message. But regarding when we look at the Bible, there's many things that agree with Islam. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us that we're not to accept, not to deny what they say, but we also not to accept it. Okay, so we can see that there's many similarities in the Bible. For instance, Jesus is described where he says you have to accept Jesus as well. You have to accept the God. No one can come through to the Father. No one can have eternal life except if you believe in the one true God and Jesus who he sent. Jesus also describes himself within the Bible as a prophet. Mecca is described as a place of pilgrimage. Mecca and his well. And its well.
It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. It's described as a place of pilgrimage. Jesus praying with his head on the floor. There's many similarities. And Allah tells in the Quran to come to common ground with the Christians to show them the similarities.
We're almost out of time. Two more points.
Yeah.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What do you guys say about that?
Well, the true message of Jesus is, listen to what he says. He says, no one can have eternal life except if you believe in the messengers. You have to believe in all the messengers which have come to humanity.
Yeah.
And the final messenger, which is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
And then earlier you mentioned the one God, not with a Trinity, just one God, one.
Yeah.
And then the other five articles of faith, what are they?
Well, you if...
Before we leave, we're almost out of time. So one God,
yeah,
believe in
one God, believe in the prophets, belief in the books, and this is the correct concept of the books. This is how important this is to the subjects which we're talking about. It's so important to understand, yeah. Even as Muslims. Belief in the Day of Judgment, a belief in the unseen, such as the angels, and also belief in divine decree. So these are the
main ones. It. If someone
But the main thing, like you said, Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, he worshipped one God. He was not Jewish or Christian, and the God which he worshipped did not include Jesus.
It didn't?
No.
It didn't include a Holy Ghost.
Of course.
It just included the creator that yes. Jesus worshipped, yeah. That we worship, that Muhammad called people to worship, the one God.
Yeah.
That's it. Worship the creator, not the creation. Where can people get the book?
The book is on jesusandtheangel.com. Yeah, so you can download and you can order online as well.
Thank you very much. We started with peace and we end with the same greeting that Jesus...
Peace be upon you.
That's the greeting that he used. Peace be with you. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. And yes, it's the truth, and you got to hear it here. Doesn't it just stimulate the mind? Doesn't it just connect with your heart? Worship the creator, not the creation. And yes, yes, God so loved the world. Yes, he did. That he sent prophets and messengers with guidance to guide humanity. That's how he shows his love. He doesn't send an unbelievable message that doesn't make sense and all these concepts that are just absurd and it's just you can't wrap your mind around it. But you can wrap your mind around the worship of just the one creator. That's it. Everything else is the creation. We don't worship that, which you can touch and you make with your own hands. No, we worship the one who created the sun and the moon, created you, me, the seven seas, the birds in the air, the fish in the sea, that one God. That's the only one that we worship. And if you were living there during the time of Jesus, you had to follow him. Yes, he was the way, the truth, and the light. You couldn't bypass him, but never did he call people to worship himself alongside with God. He was subservient to God. He called people to worship God. He was the teacher, illustrating how to do these acts of worship the same way Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was the last and final messenger who was a brother to Jesus. And you will learn all of this and more. Pick up the verbatim word of God, the Quran, 1-800-662-ISLAM. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook so you can keep up with many of these hot topics that we got on the Dean Show and many other interesting facts, not fiction, that you will pick up on here and it'll just really enlighten you. You'll be enlightened. That's right. So we'll see you next time, inshallah, God willing. Until then, we end with that greeting of peace. Peace be unto you.
This is the Dean Show.
What are you going to do with it if somebody's been trying to deliver something to you, like we've been trying to deliver the truth, that there's only one God, that you worship him alone, not his creation?
Welcome to The Dean Show, one of the most exciting purpose of life talk shows in the world. Since 2006, The Dean Show has been working on clearing up the many false misconceptions about Islam and Muslims, and at the same time, delivering the simple message of the purpose of life in a fun and exciting way.
One time I was at a restaurant, I was dressed like this, and a woman came to me, she said, "Are you a rabbi?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a black rabbi, you know."
We want you to develop a better understanding about the pure Islam and the real message that it teaches. Peace, submission, surrender, and obedience to Almighty God.
To disbelieve in any one of the messengers of God is to disbelieve in all of them.
Islam says love all mankind. That's why we're sharing this message, because we want the best for you and we want the best for all mankind. We'll see you next time, God willing, on The Dean Show. Continue to tune in. Peace be unto you.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages.